Radio Buddhist Youth Association. Happy New Year, everyone. You are listening to the sound of universal compassion. Today's the 5th of January. We will continue listening to Master Tenzin Chosen's Peewee's program, Meditation, Dying, and Karma. And please enjoy.
This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271-3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering. Hello, and thank you for joining us in the program today. We're in for another dose of suffering, I'm afraid, to add to all those we've had over the last few weeks. For those of you who have not been following the program so far, we're looking at the Four Noble Truths, and at the moment we're considering what the Buddha meant by the first of the four, that all phenomena are in the nature of suffering. So far, we have covered the general sufferings and the endless rounds of birth and rebirth we have to go through. We described them as lists of 8, 6, and 3. I wonder whether those who listened to the program over the last few weeks can remember them all. Here they are again, just in case you weren't here or don't remember. In the list of 8, we find birth, aging, sickness, and death, meeting with the unpleasant, not meeting with the pleasant, not getting what we desire, and being born with these 5 aggregates. Then the list of 6 sufferings is uncertainty, dissatisfaction, having to give up bodies endlessly, having to be born endlessly, always changing status, and loneliness. Finally, all these general sufferings can be listed under the 3, the suffering of suffering, which means what we normally understand as suffering, the suffering of change, and here is meant how even our happiness changes to suffering if we indulge in it continuously, and the all-pervasive suffering, that is, by just taking this kind of rebirth, we are caught in a trap of suffering which, try as we might, we can't get out of unless we take the Buddha as our refuge and then practice diligently for as long as we are able in this dreadful situation. Whatever other means we use to try and find long-term happiness are doomed to failure because they are underpinned by the cause of our suffering, our distorted views of reality. We covered all those pretty extensively. And then last week we looked at the specific sufferings of cyclic existence. Of course, much earlier in this series of programs, we covered the hell realms, preta realm, and the animal realms as they really are. So last week we started looking at them in terms of our existence on this planet. We can think of a hell realm on this earth when we consider some of the dreadful places and situations people have lived in. Last week we mentioned Darfur, tyrannical governments like that in Myanmar, which torture their citizens, and even in countries like ours, near glassy type situations where those who are supposed to be caregivers are like demons, abusive instead. We can contemplate many such earthly situations that are like hell. Then we also talked last week about the preta realm, where beings live with a constant gnawing sense of lack. They're characterized by suffering from a lack of resources. They may go months or years with only the minutest amount of sustenance. Or they may have many resources but are never satisfied, always extremely jealous of what they have and always searching for more. So on this earth, we can think of people in extreme drought or famine situations, or even wealthy people who can never be satisfied, no matter how much they possess. This week we're going to move on to the other realm, starting with the animal realm. But first, let's set our motivation like we usually do. As motivation is the most important of any action, we must make sure that if we want the greatest benefit, we set the best motivation. Undoubtedly, that is to gain enlightenment, not only for ourselves, but so that we can lead all others to enlightenment. The happiness of one person cannot compare to the happiness of every being in existence. So you can see that if we had the chance to work for only our own happiness, or to work for the happiness of all beings, it would be of much, much greater benefit to work for the happiness of all. Many teachers say that if we want great stores of merit, we should also try to cultivate this motivation. So let's do that now, not only for this program, but for all our actions, so that we can swiftly attain enlightenment. Thank you. Now, when we talk about the animal realm, we obviously don't have to match his experience with our own human experience, because we live with the animals and can see them suffering right in front of our eyes. Just go onto YouTube and you can find lots of animal sufferings of various sorts. Here, animals means not only mammals, but all living beings that are not plants, like insects, fish, reptiles, birds, as well as those beings we normally call animals. I guess you could also include bacteria, viruses, and so on, if they have mind. Generally, we can say animals have five forms of suffering. The first being that they are always in danger of being preyed on by other animals. Of course, you could say that your pet dog is not going to be eaten by any other animal, but actually you know that if you don't do something about fleas, even your pet dog will be breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a whole colony of fleas. And anyway, pets are by far the minority in the animal kingdom. In the wild, animals are always looking out for others who want to prey on them, and in the sea it's even worse. Big fish eat small fish, sharks eat the big fish, some sharks eat other sharks. It's like a never-ending cycle of eat and be eaten. We can also contemplate the insect kingdom, where insects constantly set traps for each other and often consume their prey in the most gruesome ways. Just think of how a spider wraps a fly in silk and then sucks it dry. Or how a python crushes its prey to death before swallowing it whole. Or how a praying mantis captures its prey in its two powerful front legs and eats it alive. The female praying mantis will sometimes kill and eat a male it has just mated with. In fact, the animal world is a seething mass of predators and prey. Continuously, animals kill each other and so continuously create negative karma. It's very difficult for them to move out of the lower realms, and so practicing the Dharma is practically impossible for them. In fact, another of the disadvantages of being born in the animal realm is stupidity. Even if, for all of its killing, an animal could listen and practice the Dharma, it would at least have a chance to make some spiritual progress. But animals are too ignorant to be able to comprehend even a simple Dharma instruction. If you have a pet, how much notice would it pay if you told it to act with compassion, or if you tried to get it to recite a single mantra? Impossible, isn't it? Unless perhaps if your pet was a parrot. Even if an animal came into contact with a Buddha, it would have difficulty recognizing or relating to him or her. A third disadvantage is not being able to do anything about heat or cold. Just down the way from our center in Mangere Bridge is Ambury Farm, with sheep, cows, and horses in paddocks. When the wind howls from the northeast and cold rain pelts down, while I'm inside with a heater on and wrapped up in my robes, I think of those animals spending days and nights out there, whatever the weather. I guess they're pretty used to it, but it cannot be very pleasant in an open paddock without even any trees to shelter and a cold, wet night. If you think about just all the farm animals in New Zealand, and especially those in the cold south of the South Island, I think it becomes pretty clear how unpleasant it must be in that situation. Then we also remember how difficult it is for many animals to get food and drink. In Africa, for instance, many countries are afflicted by drought, and it's extremely difficult for animals to find water as the land dries out. And as the water becomes scarce, so does food. The grass dries up, herbivorous animals die out, and then so do the carnivores, dependent on the herbivores. In 2005, researchers James Harrell of the U.S. National Center for Atmospheric Research and Martin Herling of the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration did some computer modeling on drought in southern Africa. They found that the warming of the Atlantic Ocean, probably due to global warming, meant that drought conditions in countries like Angola, Botswana, Lesotho, South Africa, Swaziland, Zambia and Zimbabwe will intensify during the century. But even in more normal conditions, it can sometimes be difficult for animals to find sustenance. In winter, in places where there is lots of snow, perhaps we can think of northern Canada or Alaska, for instance, animals have a lot of difficulty finding enough food. Perhaps bears are the cleverest, hibernating when the weather turns cold. And then lastly, animals are exploited all over the world by humans and other animals. We just have to remember how hard some oxen have to work, year after year, pulling plows, carts, and so on, for no reward at all. When I was in Delhi, I once saw a donkey harnessed to a cart, and where the yoke crossed the donkey's shoulders, it had worn the flesh down to the bone. The owner of the donkey and cart didn't do anything about it, and so the donkey had to pull the cart every day with his yoke resting on its open bone. It must have been extremely painful, and of course the wound was also a restaurant for all the flies in the neighborhood. And when the animals can no longer serve their human masters, they are sent off to the slaughterhouse to be killed and made into food for other animals and humans. Some of the worst animal exploitation takes place in China, where bears are kept in cages so small they can hardly move and are milked for their bile through extremely painful wounds in their stomachs. If you want stories of truly horrific exploitation, visit the website of Animals Asia, which reveals not only the bear exploitation, but also how badly dogs and cats are treated, some being skinned alive. But we can hardly hold our heads up high in New Zealand with our rampant farming, hunting and fishing culture. We may not be as cruel as some other countries, but we are not among the least exploitative countries when it comes to animals. Just think of that liter of milk you casually buy from the supermarket. Some cow gave birth to a calf, and so that you could drink the milk, the calf was taken from the cow before it was properly weaned, and if it was a bobby, most likely soon sent off to the abattoir to become veal. Imagine the emotional pain the cow and calf go through being parted before they are ready. And then the cow is as soon as possible matched with a bull again so that it can give birth once more and the whole process is repeated. A glass of milk is really a glass of animal suffering and exploitation. So, although looking at how our pet cat rules the household, we may sometimes think it would be nice to be born as an animal. In fact, being born in the animal realm has many disadvantages. From the Buddhist point of view, of course, the worst is that the animals cannot make spiritual progress through studying the Dharma and meditating. At least we as humans have this choice, but animals, due to their dependence on instinctual behavior, don't. And because of that dependence on instinct, it becomes very difficult for them to act in a way that frees them from the lower realms. Now let's meditate a little on what it would be like to be an animal. Please sit in a comfortable position and concentrate on your breath, letting the thoughts arise and pass without becoming involved in them. nothing how most animals are constantly in danger of being preyed on by other animals. Use our examples in your own experience, like spiders capturing insects and so on. How many animals are not in danger from others? Particularly with respect to the Dharma. To a certain extent, they function quite well within their instinctual limitations, but on the whole, they can't plan for their future or practice for enlightenment. food. Think perhaps of the daily long-legged spider who may have to wait days before an insect is trapped in its web, or animals in deserts or snowy mountainous regions. For work or for their bodily parts. What must it be like to be a cow and calf parted early? Maybe the calf heading off to be killed even before it's a teenager. dedicate any positive energy we've developed through this program to gaining enlightenment for the sake of helping all beings and come out of meditation. Time is up, so thank you for joining me today, and I hope you'll do so again next week. Until then, goodbye.